All right, next up we've got sea bass with The Butterfly Garden in the Zoo.
It's falling into disrepair, the butterfly garden in the zoo. Most people don't even know it's there, the butterfly garden in the zoo. Standing there, she's only 5'2". I imagine guards watching her in black and white on closed circuit TVs, wondering what she'll do. She's checking her peripheries at the butterfly garden in the zoo.
You know, as much as I complained about sad songs, I actually liked this one. You know, I liked that it was a simple and stripped down arrangement. So, it's, you know, I think unless there was a saxophone hiding somewhere, which I didn't hear.
Secret saxophone.
Yeah. I feel like it was just one piano, one voice. And the lyrics here are very relatable. And I think it's because, well, at least for me, that mishap with ashes where, you know, you try to spread ashes and they just don't end up where they're supposed to. I feel like that's super familiar. Like, my wife's family was depositing her father's ashes in this place called the Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex in Montana, where he wanted his final resting place to be. So it's quite a hike to get to the Bob Marshall. So they chartered like a 4-seater Cessna type aircraft. And,
oh, wow.
And they had figured out a way of having this PVC pipe and this window, and like, they ended up like practically freezing their hands off trying to get the ashes into this PVC pipe, because the minute they tried to push the ashes into the PVC pipe, there was something in the pressure differential that caused them to like turn into a hard clay rather than being soft ashes.
Oh my gosh.
And they ended up having to jam the ashes down the pipe with like a screwdriver or something. And as part of that, like a bunch of ashes ended up in the plane, and it was a real mess.
It's like horrific, but it's like, it's also like, I have a really dark streak for my humor, and I was just, I really wanted to tell this like dark, funny story, and I just made myself so sad.
Yeah, like when I read the line about Tupperware, I thought, oh, okay, so this is a kid's recollection of going to the zoo and there's like some sort of treat. Oh. This is not a treat in here. You know, I like the fact that the notion that the mother and the narrator are committing a crime together, which is, you know, just by respecting someone's wishes and performing a very old, very personal, or very human ritual. So it reminded me of this line from Big Star's song 13, which is, would you be an outlaw for my love? Like, do you love me enough to commit a crime for me? Which I think is cool. And, you know, this ballad works for me, I think, because it feels very real and specific, like a thing that actually happened and not like an impressionistic painting of a sad scene or a set of feelings or something. It's like it's actually got a narrative that starts somewhere and then goes somewhere and ends somewhere. So yeah, I like this. I'm curious if this actually happened or if you just sort of made this up out of whole cloth or what.
Oh, this is real. This is what really happened with my brother's ashes. And
oh,
it's like,
wow.
You know, I only have 2 songs that I've written about my late brother, and he was 2.5 years younger than I am, and he passed away in 2016, suicide. He was trying to sort of make it as a music producer out in Vegas, and, you know, he had just moved out there, and like 2 or 3 months in, he got super depressed, and that was it. And so in 2017, one of my friends told me about FOM, and I was like, well, what's one way I can honor his memory is to start producing music and writing songs and doing all this stuff. So it's one of the big impetus. You know, I played in bands a lot and I played other people's music and, you know, I helped contribute riffs and stuff, but like I didn't start writing songs until 2017. And, you know, when we went, you know, we went to, you know, to scatter my brother's ashes, I was just like, oh my God, my mom looks like such a criminal right now. She's taking out these giant Tupperwares and she's looking around and I'm like, I'm here watching the path to make sure nobody comes, and she's just dumping these huge things. And it's like kind of like that Larry David, just like, you know, awkward humor. But like you said, like almost everyone has lost somebody, and you know, sometimes you bury people in the ground, and sometimes you spread ashes, but nobody's just like, hey, make sure you stand downwind when you get rid of Uncle Billy, you know? It's like
Yeah, it's really real. And like, you know, there's also that whole sort of guilt that you feel if you don't feel enough for some reason. Like, I certainly felt that way when my father passed. I had a very, you know, tumultuous relationship with him, and I really didn't know how to feel. And it was hard watching my mother, who was really crushed by the thing. And yeah, you know, I think the relatability of the song is one of the good things about it.
Yeah, and that's what I was aiming for. You know, it's like I try to write earnest, honest songs or stupid, silly songs, you know. And when I'm trying to do a thing that's like, this is going to be a polished pop song and be great, it almost never turns out well. And I'm like, I'm going to do this thing that I'm either really excited about or that is like just really earnest and honest. And again, it's like I tried that for my Swing for the Fences and Spin Tunes. Remember which one it was? Maybe it was the last one, the one before, you know, for my last round, but it's like it didn't feel honest and earnest enough. You know, it was that like I'm not good enough song, and it's like, well, you know, I don't think I am good enough, but it's like it feels sort of whingy, and this is like hopefully more sort of earnest. And you know, this was the song that I wanted to write for a while. You know, this round I decided I wanted to write about my brother, but I thought it was going to be this funny anecdote, and I ended up being, I think a lot of people have that sort of relationship with family members where it's complex and you don't feel as sad as you should, but it's like, you know, I loved my brother and he was a fun dude. And he would have thought it was hilarious that my mom was spilling ashes on herself. He would have been cracking up from that. But it's like, I feel guilty because I don't think about him that much, you know? And
Yeah.
then, like, as I'm writing this song, I'm just like bawling on the keyboard and I don't even know how to play the fucking piano. And I'm just like, I'm picking the piano for this song so I can do the challenge. And it's just like I'm battling with the piano, I'm battling with the story, you know? And I wrote these lyrics and like I kept the first take for the end of the song
Yeah, because that
because.
felt really real.
Yeah, because it's like it's really like, and you should always be recording on your first take. You know, pro tip, always be recording on your first take, because on that one, you know, it's like I've read the lyrics before. It was the first time I tried to like sing them, and in the act of trying to sing through the lyrics, I just lost it, but I lost it in what a way that I thought was pretty cool and pretty musical and, you know, pretty earnest. So I'm glad that you guys didn't get sick of another sad ballad.
No, this one definitely worked. There's something about like the chorus repeatedly coming back to the location of the butterfly garden in the zoo. It's like, you know, choruses, they're a strange focal point, but it's an interesting thing to focus on is the location because, you know, I think our zoo might have a butterfly garden as well. It's interesting. Did he have a special, you know, desire to have his ashes there? Was that a place that was important to him, or was it just this sort of place where you guys decided to do it?
He had a lot of fun and he was very happy at the zoo. So he worked at the zoo for a while. He volunteered there. And this is the National Zoo in DC. We're from DC. It's where he worked in the invertebrates. So he liked, you know, all the stuff without the backbones. Butterfly Garden was right behind that area. I think they actually got rid of the invertebrates exhibit. But this year, when we went to go visit the site, it looked like, again, it had fallen into a lot of disrepair. I was kind of surprised. It was like rusty. It was clear they weren't maintaining the butterfly garden. And I was just like, what if they get rid of this place, you know, where we have spread my brother's
Right.
ashes. Like, man, how do I feel about that? And that's sort of how this came out a little different
Yeah.
than I was expecting. But again, that surprise, I was just as surprised when I sort of lost it at the end there. But I think he would have been happy to be buried there. But it's like a lot of the drive on why I do some of the stuff that I do.
Oh, that's really cool. So you can't go back there now because they're closing it, or
We can
can you?
go back there now. Thank God they're not closing it yet.
Okay,
But it's
good.
you know, so we went there this year. It's just this year, you know, there was like some random stuff stored. They had like these panda statues in like a corner. Like it's like one of those things where you're like, this area is probably not long for the zoo, you know, because not many people know about it. You have to go back around past like some less popular things. There's a Komodo dragon, you know, and some turtles and stuff. But it's sort of like an in between, you know, one of those like interstices type spaces in between some of the bigger exhibits. But you know, it used to be full of butterflies and, you know, well-maintained milkweed. And maybe this podcast will be the thing that saves the butterfly garden at the zoo. Act now. So it left me feeling kind of down and like I'm really glad that I wrote this song because I can listen to it and then I can cry and then I feel a lot better. And then I feel less guilty about not thinking about my brother more.
Yeah. I think for men, there's just so much pressure to be stoic and to not show emotion. And like, it can be a real relief to have a place to vent it.
Yeah, and I think song is a fun place. Fun place
Yeah.
for that.
Yeah.
I feel kind of inappropriate butting in with these spliced in comments after such a cool heart to heart between Chumpy and Seabass, but here I am butting in anyway. This song is a touching scenario delivered with a well-matched piano performance and vocal melody. The variation in lyric line lengths brings Ogden Nash to mind, as he would have like an ABCB rhyme scheme for a poem with strict meter for the first three lines, but then the fourth line might be like a run-on sentence, way longer than the length of the first three lines before getting to the rhyme at the end. And he'd do that to sort of comic effect. And this song is poignant and touching and kind of sad and kind of funny, but not really funny. Not supposed to be, but sort of supposed to be funny. It really straddles that line pretty well. And as such, it's really memorable. And it's a really lovely performance piece, I thought.